Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, what's up? You're listening to the Alternative Facts Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Payne. Have you guys heard the new Paris song? That one's called Heaven. It came out on Monday. I mention it because last week, if you listened to last week's episode, Kevin from Charts and I were talking about seeing them live. We were wondering when the new album's coming out. Well, a few days later, we have our answer. Paris' sophomore album is out August 4th. That's Paris spelled P-V-R-I-S, caps lock. Go find them, listen to them, stream them if you haven't heard them yet. I like them a lot. I think they're really one of the best new bands to come out of the Warped Tour scene the past few years. I see a really, really passionate fan base around them. I'm pulling for them. I actually had them on my last podcast, The Alt and Our Stars, the last podcast I did with Billboard. Maybe I'll have them on this one sometime. Stay tuned. Let's see, what else? What else is going on in my world right now? Well, the new Paramore song, Hard Times. We've talked about it a lot so far in this podcast. I know, but it debuted this past week on the Hot 100 at number 90. Made a jump from 31 to 28 on the alternative chart. So what does that mean? Well, not the breakthrough I was hoping for, but not the end of the world either. So inconclusive for now. Could have a gradual rise on the chart, on the Hot 100, on alternative songs, especially the Hot 100, like some really big artists get, where the song just inches up week after week before becoming a big bona fide hit. So we'll see. We don't really know if it's going to be a hit song just yet. So keep it here with this podcast. Subscribe. Future episodes will have more details. We'll have Kevin from Charts on another time soon. Today, my first interview, I'm chatting with my friend Andrew Unterberger. He's another writer-editor at Billboard, actually sits across from me. And we're talking about the new Gorillaz album. It's called Humans, Humans with a Z, from Gorillaz, also with a Z. Came out last Friday. Here's our chat. But right now, Andrew Unterberger, you're here to talk about Gorillaz.
Yeah, what's up, Chris? I'm excited to talk about the new album. Excited for my first Alternative Facts appearance.
New album, Humans with a Z. And I really wanted to have you on for this one because you interviewed the lead gorilla.
I did. The king gorilla, I guess it would be, Damon Albarn. Formerly of Blur and, well, still Blur, I guess, actually. End of The Good, the Bad, and the Queen and about a million other side projects.
Take me through this interview. How did it go? What was it like?
So it was cool. It wasn't particularly, I didn't get to, like, you know, go bowling with him or, I don't know, like visit his childhood home or whatever else people sometimes get to do on cool interviews. But I did get to visit him in his hotel room at the Greenwich Hotel in super downtown Manhattan. He has the same portable speaker that I do. I was very excited about that. Or maybe it was just supplied by the hotel room, but I'd like to believe that it was his own portable speaker. I got to talk to him for half an hour. And he was a lot more relaxed than I expected. He was a lot more engaged and kind of willing to go with it. And, you know, like, I think for a lot of Blur fans and kind of general Britpop obsessives my age, our main like mental image of Damon Albarn in the 21st century is from this documentary that came out in 2004 called Live Forever, which kind of like told the story of the Britpop era. And like it had the Gallagher brothers of Oasis, and then it had Damon Albarn. And the Gallagher brothers were still kind of like riding high, and like, you know, Noel Gallagher sitting in this gigantic throne, and Liam looks like he hasn't noticed that a day's passed since 1997. But Damon is looking kind of like shy and sort of guilty almost. He's like ashamed of his part in the whole thing. And like, so like, you know, when doing this interview, I had to ask him about Noel Gallagher, because he actually sings on the album. And like, I was expecting him to be like, I don't want to talk about that. Like, whatever. I called him, it was nothing. But he was like, oh yeah, me and Noel, yeah, we're friends now. It's cool. And like, and then that was kind of the thing for the entire interview. He was very like excited. And he was very, you know, he seemed proud of the work he'd done. He seemed proud of his entire career, and he wanted to talk Gorillaz, and that was better than I expected.
Yeah, a lot of times when I'm about to do an interview with someone like that, I get kind of worried, because you think, wow, this person is a legend, and they're so legit, and they've been that way for so long in music that they could be an asshole if they really wanted to, and they could get away with it.
Yeah, and it's certainly, I don't know, I think if you look at Damon Albarn's public perception over the last decade or two, I would not say that he is considered like a gregarious figure. I think he had some sniping comments a couple years ago about working on the Adele album, and he was, you know, he's like, oh, I was uninspired by that, or I can't remember exactly what he said, but he seemed tad bit dickish, certainly. And he also kind of talked derisively about the new Carly Rae Jepsen song at the time, and like he seems not necessarily irritable, but definitely a little smug, a little snobbish maybe. And he comes off that way sometimes. He sort of has historically done that. Blur is kind of like an artier, more pretentious band to begin with, especially when compared with someone like Oasis. But he definitely seemed, he was a little bit high-minded, a little bit pretentious perhaps, but he wasn't snide and he wasn't snobbish, and he was generally pretty warm and welcoming and I would say open-hearted about Gorillaz and their future prospects, and that was refreshing.
I think that high-minded creativeness has really helped his music develop, age really well. Gorillaz has stood the test of time, I think, a lot better than a lot of the rock music that came out of the mid-2000s. Let's get back to that. Before we get too far ahead, I just want to backtrack and introduce Gorillaz to the people listening.
Let's talk about Gorillaz.
What are some of the early career essentials, the hits?
Well, yeah, obviously I think the first song that a lot of us knew by Gorillaz was Clint Eastwood, which I think came out in like 2001, had a guest verse from Del the Funky Homo Sapien. It was him on the verses and Damon singing on the chorus. And that sort of, I think, set the template for a lot of their hits moving forward.
I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing, cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs, and I'm under each snare.
Their biggest hit, certainly, came, I think, in 2005 with Feel Good Inc., which was featuring De La Soul, also sort of in that Del mold.
Windmill, windmill, fall the land.
Our colleague over at Stereo Gum, Chris DeVille, had like a tweet that I couldn't help but chuckle at a couple weeks ago when the album was first kind of floating around the ether. He said something like the worst behavior of millennial fans is preferring Gorillaz to Blur, and like I do sort of feel that way. Like I feel like this interview is probably gonna make me sound like a much bigger Gorillaz hater than I am. I do like Gorillaz a lot. I do like this album a pretty good amount, but it doesn't really like hit particularly. It's a low ceiling thing. Like Blur had songs that I would consider among the best of my lifetime. Blur had albums that I would consider among the best of my lifetime. Gorillaz, they're always fun and they're never bad. Like Blur could be bad sometimes and like unapologetically so, but they never really get to that like that like kind of classic canonical place. Like I do wonder if 20 years from now Gorillaz is a band that everybody knows, but nobody can name an album or song by.
They'll just remember it was cartoons.
It was cartoons, and it was innovative for, like, you know, technical reasons, and because they were the first band that, like, replaced their lead singer when Damon abdicates the throne to whoever comes next. But, like, their albums aren't appearing on best of all time lists. Their songs aren't being done karaoke by anybody. Like, it's just the songs and the albums die out, but the idea of the group lives on. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe that's the point of the entire project.
Yeah, he wants someone to just take it over when he's gone in 20 years, keep the virtual band going.
Yeah, he wants. I think in his mind, there's no reason why there has to be an endpoint for Gorillaz, like, forever. Like, you know, the band keeps evolving with the times musically and technologically. Then, in theory, you know, maybe 20 years from now, people can name a Gorillaz song because there's one currently on the radio. Then that's possible too. It depends on they've done a pretty good job of through 15 years since their first album came out. They've managed to stay relatively relevant in the conversation. Like, we just heard that apparently their new album is going to debut in the top five of the charts, which their last album did too, and I think the album before that. So clearly they're onto something, and they haven't seen, like, a dip in popularity yet. And we've kind of anecdotally talked around the office a lot. People are like, oh yeah, it's surprising to me that, like, people still really care about this group. But yeah, so if they can continue that kind of flatline trajectory where there's no major ups or downs, then maybe in 20 years, sure, yeah, the new Gorillaz album, we'll have the, you can come on my podcast, we'll do the 20th anniversary remembrance of this podcast.
And I think as long as it's so easy for them to get your Drams and Vince Staples's and Danny Brown's of the day onto the album and to give it that current credibility, because the project lends itself to collaborators so much, it's always going to be able to feel relevant and get young people into it.
Yeah, and that is something that they do sort of have to be commended for. They do manage, kind of every time out, they get kind of like a slightly updated guest list where, you know, it doesn't feel like they're necessarily grabbing at, like, you know, just the big names who are going to make for the good internet headlines.
They didn't get that Zayn feature.
No, Zayn. No members of One Direction at all, in fact. And that's... I don't know if that's better for the best or not, but they do get people, you know, they feel like lightly relevant to the time. They feel like they're not, like, you're not going to think of Vince Staples as, like, the first person from 2017 when you think of this era 10 years down the road. But it does root the album in kind of modern sounds, and it does, and if nothing else, yeah, it proves that, like, Gorillaz still matters to these younger artists. And it's actually one of the funnier parts of the piece, I think, or one of the funny parts of my conversation with Damon was that when talking about the guest list, he mentioned that, like, one of the main curating factors in the album was his own daughter. And he was basically like, who can I get on this album that'll impress my daughter and make me seem cool to her? And he did that, and he got a whole bunch of guests, and it's a pretty coherent listen. I should say that when, you know, we were talking earlier about how, like, they don't have, like, kind of the knockout songs, I should make sort of an exception on this album for the last track, which is We Got the Power, which is the Noel Gallagher collaboration that I alluded to at the beginning of our discussion. That's a song that, like, for all I talk about, like the emotional distance and kind of removing himself from the equation, sort of, that's an album that feels, like, kind of hot-blooded. Like, it feels like Damon actually, like, really, like, taking a stand and putting himself out there. I mean, the message is a little vague, and it's kind of like, fist pump, what are we fist pumping about? I don't know, just do it. But, like, it's... There's something, like, there's a real emotion behind it, and there's a real vigor to it that you only really get, like, once or twice a Gorillaz album, and I don't know if it would kind of mess up the project if they did it more often, but it's nice to hear that they can still do that even.
Yeah, I think it's, he listened to the kids, he listened to his daughter, and he stayed cool.
His daughter demanded a Jenny Beth of Savages also appear on that song. But she's good. She adds, you know, he said that he wanted to get her on the track to avoid it becoming too stodgy between him and Noel, and that was probably a good call on his part.
So I think we hit on a lot of interesting stuff. Why don't you plug the piece and shout out any other projects you're working on?
I can't remember the exact name of it, but an interview with Damon Albarn about Gorillaz was published in the last Billboard magazine, and you can find it online. And I guess listen out for my own podcast, which I referenced a minute ago, shameless plug there, called Coming Around Again, which is an anniversary-themed podcast. And this week we're talking about Soulja Boy's Crank That Soulja Boy. So if you like gorillas, you love Soulja Boy, come and listen to that.
And that's within the Pop Shop Podcast?
That is within the Pop Shop Podcast Network. Proud member, newest member of the team, but they've been good to me so far.
So search for Pop Shop Podcast in iTunes.
There you go.
To get to Andrew's weekly anniversary piece. And and what's your Twitter handle?
It's at AU Get Off My Gold, which is a joke about the chemical symbol for gold that my sixth grade science teacher taught me.
Thanks so much again to Andrew for coming by to chat with me about the new gorillas. Before we move on to our next segment, here's a little word from our sponsor.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. Got an artist interview up next. Hamilton Lighthouser is his name. It's a very elegant name. He has one of my favorite voices in all of music. For about 15 years, he fronted this great indie rock band called The Walkmen. Last year, after the band went on hiatus, he released a solo album alongside Rostam, former Vampire Weekend member Rostam, now producer, solo artist. And here's one of my favorite moments from that very, very excellent album. This one's called Rough Going, I Won't Let Up. And one more. Here's the first song from the Hamilton Rostam album. This one was actually used in a big Super Bowl commercial that aired right before the game. It's called 1,000 Times.
That you were mine. I've had that dream 1,000 times. 1,000 times. 1,000 times. I've had that dream 1,000 times.
Hamilton just has this gut-wrenching, beautiful voice. No one really sings like him. And then Rostam, he's the production guy. You don't really hear him singing on the album. He's the one picking and playing a lot of those instruments. Now, because they're both really busy guys, they don't play many concerts together. So I was so pumped when I went out to see a show that was supposed to be just Hamilton a couple months ago, Music Hall Williamsburg in Brooklyn. And surprise, Rostam was out there too to perform. So, turns out they actually recorded that show, and it's being released as a live album. That brings me to the talk right now. This is me chatting with Hamilton about what he's got coming up, his friendship with Rostam and the other guys from Vampire Weekend, and later, some deep thoughts about New York City. Here goes. Yeah, so we're talking about the Hamilton Lighthouser and Rostam album. or actually in the proper way that your artist name is written out, how does that, it's your name first, right? It was Hamilton and Rostam.
Right. It was my full name because that's how I was billed on my first solo record. So Hamilton Lighthouser. And then he professionally dropped his last name. So he's just Rostam.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a little bit of a mistake since we have such long, hard to pronounce last names. I thought it was kind of, I just wanted to call it Lighthouser Batman Glitch.
That's a badass name.
I thought so too. That would have been my first choice.
I mean, hardly anyone at a glance would know what that is.
Yeah.
I think going with Hamilton and Rostam probably makes a lot more sense, but maybe less badass.
Yeah, I was sort of into that for a while, but I couldn't convince anyone. Nobody wanted to hear that, so I dropped it.
Lighthouse, Batman Glitch. That's the proper pronunciation of his
last
name.
Batman Glitch, actually.
Batman Glitch. That's like an Americanized thing I just said.
Right, that's what I say too.
So how did you first become pals at Rostam?
Well, we became pals when we started working together, actually, which was about 4 or 5 years ago. And he just called me up out of the blue or wrote me or something and asked if he heard I was doing a record outside of the Walkman, and he lived right down the street from me, and he invited me over to try and work on some music at his like home studio. And we clicked pretty fast and as friends, and that day we wrote music together successfully, which was sort of a surprise. I had known him for over the years a little bit, but that was when we got to be friends. So maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. So that was when you became friends. When you first became, I guess you could say, acquaintances, it had something to do with, like, Ezra from Vampire Weekend did some sort of internship at the Walkman studio.
Yeah, like a long time ago, we used to have this recording studio up in Harlem called Mercata. And one day, somebody in our band decided that we should have an intern. I don't know why. And so somebody went and put flyers up at Columbia for interns, and we got all these calls. And these people came in and did interviews and stuff. And I don't think I was a part of the interview process. Maybe I was. I don't remember. And they ended up hiring Ezra. This is long before Vampire Weekend. But then after we hired him, we realized we had absolutely no idea why we needed an intern or what an intern does. So I just remember it was like sort of a series of messages from him or something being like, what? Do you guys have anything that, am I supposed to do anything? And we would always be like, oh man, we got to figure out something for the intern to do. But I think there were a few jobs. I think it was okay. An all right internship. It probably looked really good on his resume.
What did he actually wind up doing in the end?
I have no idea. I don't know if we ever had a job for him to
just
do.
Your friend.
Yeah, just like a guy to be around for very little purpose.
So I guess indirectly from that, somehow you became friends with Rostam.
Yeah, actually, no, it was like later on when their band started and they asked if they could, I guess probably Ezra, I don't remember, asked if they could open for us because they were like just starting out. And we said, yeah. And then very quickly they became very popular.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember last time we chatted about this, there was some story about them doing SNL but rushing back to open for you guys.
Yeah, they opened for us on a Sunday night in Atlanta. That was the first time I ever saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had played on Saturday Night Live the night before. And it was admirable that they kept that commitment, I gotta say. I always thought that was showed a little character.
Yeah. For context, for those listening to the podcast, what Walkman album was this at this time?
Probably About You and Me, I would think, right around that time.
Yeah, let's drop in some music from that one. This is In the New Year. So Rostam has some new solo music coming out too.
Yeah, it's exciting.
What do you think of it?
It sounds great. I've heard half of it maybe now. And I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously people are used to watching him on stage performing live. They're used to his instrumentation. They've seen like a little bit of him doing vocals, like some in Vampire Weekend, some on stage with you, but taking the lead vocals is a new thing for Rostam.
Big front man, yeah.
And sometimes I laugh when I think about how well you know me. Yeah.
So aside from the live album, what else is coming up in your world? Anything you want to talk about? Plug?
I'm going to have a new record at some point. It's going to take me a little while, but I've been working on a lot of material too. I just haven't put any of it or played any of it out yet. But I'm looking forward to, I have this tour that's coming up in the fall where I hope to be playing a lot of my new stuff. And maybe I can have something released by then. I don't know. I would love to.
Mm-hmm. Because the previous solo album was, what, 2014?
Yeah, is that right? Maybe. I'm so bad with the years.
I mean, the Walkmen were pretty much every other year for a long time.
Yeah, we put out a record every 2 years. It was so weird because some seemed to take 10 years and some seemed to take like a few weeks. And yet they came out every 2 years.
And
like clockwork.
Yeah, and you never plan for it that way. But then when you go back and look at like your All Music page or Wikipedia or whatever, and you just see the list of the albums,
it's
like
even years.
2008, 2010.
Yeah. It's like 2002, 2004, 2006, 2008. It goes exactly like that.
The album with Rostam was 2016.
Was it? Oh, so I guess I've got
year.
A little.
It was last year.
Wow, I guess I've got a little buffer here. I got a little time.
Don't release anything this year.
Yeah.
Wait till 20. Take your time. Wait till 2018.
I'm not gonna break the cycle.
What's it like being like? Because it's been like a couple years. You've released things. What's it like not being Hamilton from the Walkman anymore? Is it different?
On a day-to-day or sort of like, you mean in general?
Yeah, just like, do you think about yourself differently? Do you think other people see you differently?
I think other people finally have separated me from the Walkman. At first, it was much more of a battle than I realized it was going to be. When I went solo, I didn't realize how much I was starting over. Because I would play these shows and people, you know, I'd be like opening for Spoon or something like that. And people would say they had no idea who I was until I started singing. And then they said, oh, wait, you're that guy from the Walkman. And that happened over and over again. And after, you know, a year of that or something, it was a little frustrating because people just didn't know my name and they just knew the Walkman name. And I didn't realize how many doors that opened just to have that name.
Huh.
But I think finally now I've begun to establish myself as an independent entity.
Yeah, so you've got the solo album in the works, the live album. Anything else you want to touch on? Any non-musical things that are interesting in your life these days?
I'm so busy. It's not necessarily that interesting, but all the mundane stuff, yeah. I could go on, and I'm not going to bore you with that.
Well, how's your family? In a few sentences, if you don't want to bore anyone.
I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old daughter, and they, you know, had spring break 2 weeks ago, which was just about put me into an early grave because I hadn't organized. You realize when you anytime anything happens, like scheduling, you take the fall. So if you didn't organize a babysitter, if there's a holiday,
it's
if there's
a
half day,
it's not the 3-year-old's
fault. Oh my God. You have to pick up the slack. And there's a lot of spring break is a lot of slack. A lot of questions and a lot of like a lot of wants and stuff all day every day. It was a long week, a long 10 days for dad.
So a nice preview for the summer vacation. You get to be
Now I've understood that you get camp going. The school ends on a Friday. Camp starts on a Monday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dad for a weekend. Quality right. weekend. Right. And then camp.
Yeah. Long days at camp. That's the plan this year.
So family is keeping you busy. Wholesome, positive, but busy.
Yep.
Anything else?
I'm moving actually, which is also keeping me busy. Stressful. Staying in the area. Decided not to leave New York. I'll be the last of the Mohicans here, last of the rockers.
Did you give some serious thought to it?
I think everybody probably does. I mean, everybody in New York, do you? How old are you? How long have you been here?
I'm 28 and I grew up in New Jersey and I've lived here ever since I moved from New Jersey after I graduated college and got a job at Billboard.
So you've been here like 6 years or something?
I've been here like 4 and change.
Uh-huh. I've been here like 19. And I always, I mean, as you know, kids and stuff changes it, but always just like money and space and noise.
Because
stress.
because you could probably get, well, not the noise and the stress, but you could probably get more out of those things you just said in other cities, but they wouldn't be New York.
Right. Yep. There's definitely a trade-off.
Then what? Oh, it's been 20 plus years. What always keeps you here?
I've never been able to write music anywhere else, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just that I've lived here, but I've tried. I've gone to other places and worked, and I've been so unproductive, and I have this feeling that for some reason being here always keeps me on my toes enough to keep working on stuff. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't really want to find out after I've bought a house in some other city that I was right.
I mean, it comes up a decent amount in the lyrics on the album with Rostam, like walking out to the West Side. You mentioned other parts and other songs in Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean, it's just true. It's just the results of it. I wouldn't even, to me, it sounds vague, and like people used to ask me so much if New York was like the inspiration for my music and stuff. And to me, it was just something that didn't add up. And I would say, I don't think so. But it's just always come down to, it's always worked out when I've been here. I've always gotten more done. As hectic as it is and hard to get people to school every day and, like, you know, space is tight and practice spaces are just so terrible here. It's not an easy city to be a musician in, actually. But it, for one reason or another, it always seems to, I don't know. I have this suspicion that if I moved away, it would maybe, I guess maybe I'm scared to move away for some reason.
Hmm. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I just don't know if, I don't know. I've just been here too long. I don't know. It's funny.
Thanks, Hamilton. Thanks for coming by. So that show that's being released on the live album that we talked about, really honestly one of my favorite shows I've been to this whole year. Those songs really came to life. The proper title of this album is Hamilton, Lighthouser, and Rostam, I Won't Let Up, live at Music Hall of Williamsburg. You can only get the vinyl when you buy a ticket to the upcoming tour that Hamilton has coming up, so hit up his official site for that. What else? I'm seeing Rostam solo this Wednesday, which will actually be yesterday after when this podcast comes out. As you might have noticed by now, I'm a huge Vampire Weekend fan. I think Rostam is one of the best minds in production and songwriting out there these days. I'm really excited to see some frontman Rostam. That's something new for him. And speaking of Vampire Weekend, one of its members will be a guest here on the podcast in the upcoming weeks. So subscribe. Get it every week automatically. Subscribe on iTunes or the podcast app on your phone. While you're there, I want to hear what you think. This is really my favorite thing to do at Billboard. There's a lot about my job here at Billboard that I love, but my favorite is this podcast. So it really does help a lot to get some feedback from you guys. Star ratings, your own feedback in iTunes, super appreciated. To get at me, to just keep up with the show in general and keep up with my general thoughts, musings, find me on Twitter, handles at CPain on a plane, or probably easier, just search for my name. It's the first one that comes up for this, CHRISPAYNE. So we'll be back next Thursday. Some topics coming up on the show, future episodes, Vampire Weekend, I already said that, but we'll see more what they're up to. New Halsey album we'll talk about, future shows. We'll keep checking in on the new Paramore and Fall Out Boy. New music from Haim, Phoenix, Lana Del Rey. Maybe we'll talk about what's up with Brand New. Maybe we'll discuss, will My Chemical Romance ever reunite? There's a lot of stuff I'm really eager to talk about in this show. Subscribe, keep listening, I'm excited, and I'll catch you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.